Hey there, welcome to Following the Truth. My name is Gary Zimak. Today is Monday, June the 29th, and I thank you for stopping by. I hope you had a wonderful weekend. Today, the church celebrates the solemnity of Saints Peter and Paul. This is a big day. These are two heavyweights when it comes to saints. And the message today that I have for you, this is what I think the Lord wants me to talk about, is breaking the chains of fear. Breaking the chains of fear in your life. So many of us are looking at what's going on in the world, and yes, it's scary. It's really scary, and there is legitimate reason to be concerned. I'm not going to kid you. There's legitimate reason to be concerned. However, what we need to remember is that Jesus is still in control. He is. No matter how bad things look, Jesus is still in control, and there is no reason to lose your peace or to lose your joy. But it's a challenge and it is tricky. And I think if we look at the lives of St. Peter and St. Paul, we can recognize that certainly they lived in some very trying times. I mean, during the time of Peter and Paul, Christianity meant a death sentence. They were going to be put to death. People wanted to kill them. That's pretty nasty. I mean, right? I mean, that is something that is going to make many of us afraid. But yet somehow they were able to find peace in Jesus. And we see it throughout the Gospels, the life of St. Peter. This is a guy who swore that he would be willing to go to prison with Jesus. And what did he do? He denied him three times. Didn't take much for Peter to completely fall apart and deny Jesus. And then we look at what happened after Pentecost. Once he received the Holy Spirit, we see a completely different person. We see a different person who is willing to give up his life and who ultimately did give up his life, as did Paul, for Jesus. This is what can happen if we let the Holy Spirit transform us. So we're going to talk about that today. So if you are afraid, if you do feel like you're imprisoned, and no doubt about it, our fears, our anxieties can imprison us. We have to remember something. We have the key, and that key to getting out of jail is Jesus. Following Jesus through the help of the Holy Spirit. That's the key. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to look at the first reading and the second reading from today's Mass for the solemnity of Saints Peter and Paul. And I'll just share a few thoughts about that. But I want this show to bring you hope. If you're not feeling hopeful, hopefully you will. That's an interesting choice of words. If you're not feeling hopeful, hopefully you will by the end of the show. Well, you know what I mean, right? That's what I want to do. I want to give you hope in Jesus throughout the next 20-some minutes of this program. Anyway, I hope your weekend was really good. I had a great weekend. It's warm here in southern New Jersey, nice and warm. We were able to go to Mass again yesterday, which is fantastic. And, you know, I've said this before on the show. I'm no fan of wearing a mask. It's kind of uncomfortable when I go to sit in church. But I am so thankful that I am able to go to church and be inside the building once again. Even if we're doing like 25% capacity and have to wear masks indoors, that's a small price to pay. And we really need to look at our dedication to Jesus and to his church. I mean, we look at the early Christians, right? And these people, Peter and Paul are examples. These people they're putting their lives in danger in order to practice their faith and follow Jesus. And yet so many of us, and I group myself in this category, we don't even want to be inconvenienced by wearing a mask or by having to distance socially. And, you know, it's hard. It's hard. It's different. I don't like different. But I think being deprived, at least for me, being deprived of being able to receive Jesus in the Eucharist for 3+ months really made me more grateful. And I know there are still more lessons that I need to learn. I know that Jesus is bigger than a church building, and if he needs to get me grace, he could appear to me in different ways if I can't physically receive the Eucharist. But I'm just grateful for, right now, the ability to do that. I'm not going to focus on what I don't have, but I'm focusing on what I do have. And I do have hope. I do have hope because I know with Jesus all things are possible. Now, I do pray, as does my family, for an end to the coronavirus every day. I do pray things go back to normal. And I can say with confidence that ultimately God does not want us to live this way, apart from one another, distancing, deprived of our freedoms. He does not, looking at the big picture, want us to live that way. But for the time being, he's allowing it for a reason. There is no doubt in my mind that he's trying to get our attention. So I would encourage you, as I'm trying to do every day, to continue to just say, Lord, what do you want me to learn from this experience? And pray for the grace to appreciate the blessings that you have, because I don't know about you, but I have appreciated more of the little blessings as we've traveled down this road for the past 4 months. Some of the little things are now big things to me because I appreciate them and realize that they're not that little. And I won't kid you. I have been ungrateful. I have not appreciated some of the freedoms that I've had. But I'm starting to. So all glory to God, and you know, we'll keep marching forward. But I want you to know that your joy and your peace, and this is a tough message, they are not dependent on external circumstances. And Paul tells us that in his letter to the Philippians, while he's under house arrest, he writes to rejoice in the Lord in Philippians 4. To rejoice in the Lord, that's the key. We rejoice in the Lord. Who doesn't change? Circumstances, they change. Every day, the circumstances change. But our Lord doesn't change. And if we can learn to rejoice in Him, if all our happiness lies in the Lord and the Lord alone, it doesn't mean you can't enjoy things in life. No, it means primarily focusing on the Lord as your source of happiness. You will be able to experience peace and joy in life. But man, it is a hard thing to do when we are so used to finding our joy and our happiness in material things and earthly comforts. It's just, that's the way we are. And again, that doesn't mean you can't enjoy stuff. But God has to come first if you're going to be able to be at peace. I think it's an ultimate goal for us all. And I'm going to do my part to help you get there. I want to get there myself. I want to be unaffected by external circumstances to the extent that I, whatever extent I can. I guess I should say I want to be less affected by the things that happen around me, by circumstances, and more affected by my relationship with Jesus and the Father and the Holy Spirit. You know, that's my goal, and I hope it's your goal too, because ultimately, if we can get to that point, we're going to be in great shape, and we won't worry as much. We won't be upset when things don't go our way. We'll carry our crosses without complaint. You know, that's a really good place to be, and that's been my goal, and that's a very achievable goal. If you look through the Bible, you're going to see that message over and over again. Jesus talks about it in the Gospels when he says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and find life burdensome, and I will give you rest." And yet, he also says, "I'm going to give you, you'll have a cross if you follow me, to pick up your cross." He didn't say you're going to get additional crosses. We're all going to have crosses. Whether we follow Jesus or not, we are going to have crosses. But he said, "If you wish to be my follower, pick up your cross." Luke tells us in Luke 9:23, pick up your cross daily, deny yourself, and follow me. So, you know, that's what he's saying. He's not saying take on extra crosses. He's saying deny yourself, focus more on him, pick up or carry or embrace, I think is a better way to put it, your cross, and then follow me. That's what a disciple does. Whoa, that's not easy, right? It's not easy because we're not used to it, but I'm telling you, the more we do it, the easier it'll get. So look, that's going to be my message. That's been my message in my books and when I come on radio. And I found in my life, that's the way to true peace, by focusing more on the Lord. So let's do that. Let's turn right now to our Lord Jesus, and we are in his presence. We just need to think about that. Let's pray to him. And I would invite you to pray along with me. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord Jesus, We give you thanks for the fact that we are in your presence right now. Lord, there's a lot of distractions right now in the world, in our country, in my life personally, a lot of distractions. And Lord, it's very easy to take our eyes off of you because we're bombarded with an endless source of bad news, negativity, temptation. It's all around us. You know that. But at this moment in time, our eyes are fixed on you, Lord. We are your followers. We are your disciples. You lead the way. You lead. We follow. Lord, we call you Lord. That means you're the boss. You call the shots. You taught us to pray to our Father in heaven using the words, "Thy will be done." But yet we have a hard time when your will conflicts with our will. If we really meant those words, we wouldn't complain when things didn't go our way. I'm guilty, Lord. I ask you to forgive me for those times when I do complain, when I say, "Thy will be done," speaking to your Father, but then complain when his will is done and my will isn't done. Please grant us all the grace to be better able to accept your will in our lives. Jesus, we ask you to help us to know you better, help us to love you more, help us to be willing to serve you, help us to hear you speak to us in the pages of the Bible. Jesus, please, we ask in your name that all of our needs be provided by your Father. You said he would take care of us. We're going to hold you to it, Lord. Please, through your intercession, Lord, may we be granted whatever it is that we need this day. Lord, help us know what you want us to do right now. Help us to know what we can do in our lives and when we should back off and let you take over. Please use us, Lord, as your instruments. Use us as your hands and feet in the world. And Lord, please send a fresh outpouring of your Holy Spirit to come alive in us, so that I can speak the words that you wish on this program and deliver your message, not my own. And that all of us can open our heart and our mind to hear and respond to what you have to say to us this day. Please remove our fear, Lord, and increase our faith. Jesus, in your name I pray. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hey, thank you for praying with me. Always feels good. You know, one of these days I'm going to do a show. Now, today we talked to Jesus. We could also have prayed to the Father. We could have prayed to the Holy Spirit. It's a little confusing sometimes, isn't it? You're not sure who to pray to. We'll talk more about that. I think that's an important topic. But I would say just talk to whoever. Talk to all of the persons of the Trinity, as well as the saints, the Blessed Mother, Saint Joseph. Now, they're not divine. They're not God. But they're certainly in a good place, and they can intercede for you. But when it comes to praying, when it comes to praying to God, the Father, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, split it up. Be comfortable. Don't go crazy. Don't be scrupulous about it. Understand if you speak to one person of the Trinity, they all get it. Nobody's going to get jealous. But you know, this is something that I've struggled with. And I continue to get a little weird about sometimes. But don't let it bother you. Talk to anybody. The Father loves you. He sent Jesus to walk with you, to lead you by the hand, to give you an example. And he sent the Holy Spirit to transform you, to guide you, to transform you into the image of Jesus, and to guide you, to be that Spirit that guides you throughout the day. So, again, we should talk about it at some point, but right now I split it up. I normally talk to the Father when I lead the prayer at the beginning of the show, but today I talk to Jesus. All right, by the way, followingthetruth.com, don't forget that's my website. If you want to find out more info about me, if you want to sign up for my daily email devotional, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled, if you need a little daily message from me each day, you just go to followingthetruth.com and provide your email address and you will be all set. Okay, so today is the solemnity, big day, highest holy day of the church, a solemnity of Saints Peter and Paul, two of the early leaders of the church. And let me read, and I talked about breaking free from fear today, and I think the first reading and the second reading from today's Mass are great, give us great examples from the lives of Saints Peter and Saint Paul. So let me read the first reading. It's from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 12, verses 1 through 11, to give you a little bit of an idea of how you can break free from the fear, which can lead to almost a self-imprisonment in life, how you can break out of that prison. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 12, verses 1 through 11. In those days, King Herod laid hands upon some members of the church to harm them. He had James, the brother of John, killed by the sword, and when he saw that this was pleasing to the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also. It was the feast of the unleavened bread. He had him taken into custody and put into prison under the guard of four squads of four soldiers each. He intended to bring him before the people after Passover. Peter thus was being kept in prison, but prayer by the church was fervently being made to God on his behalf. Now what we see here is we get an example of the kind of life lived by the early Christians, the danger that was involved. Peter's in jail. Peter's in jail with the intent of bringing him to trial. Herod had him placed in prison. And guess what? Herod wants to do away with Peter. He wants these leaders. First he got rid of Jesus. Now he wants these leaders of the Christian faith eliminated. But while Peter was in jail, check this out. The people in the church were praying on behalf of Peter. This is why it's important for us to pray for an end to the coronavirus, for whatever problems we may have, for more unity in the United States. We see incredible conflict, division right now. It's really, really nasty to pray for our church leaders. You know, this is important. Prayer is important. Now, on the very night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter, secured by double chains, was sleeping between two soldiers, while outside the door, guards kept watch on the prison. So Peter was really locked down. He was in a bad place, as many of us can find ourselves when it comes to fear. We're imprisoned. We're almost held captive. You ever feel that way, by your fears? Suddenly, the angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in his cell. He tapped Peter on the side and awakened him, saying, "Get up quickly." The chains fell from his wrists. The angel said to him, "Put on your belt and your sandals." He did so. Then he said to him, "Put on your cloak and follow me." You see, the angel's given Peter these orders. Note one thing. The angel told Peter, while he was still chained, to get up quickly. Peter had to get up before the chains fell off of his wrist. See, this is why it's so important. If you're being held captive by fear or by any other thing, your past, a sinful habit that you can't shake, it's important to get up and do something. Turn to Jesus. Turn to Jesus. Ask for his help. A lot of times we just have to act. We have to step out. We have to try something. We have to pray. We can't just lay there. And often it's when we do something that the Lord moves. We have to move, and then he'll move. So is there something you can do to get yourself out of your prison? Whatever that prison may be. If there is something you can do, do it. Focus on the Lord, and then go ahead and do it. So Peter followed the angel. He followed him out, not realizing what was happening through the angel, that it was real. He thought he was seeing a vision. They passed the first guard, then the second, and came to the iron gate leading out to the city, which opened for them by itself. They emerged and made their way down an alley, and suddenly the angel left him. Then Peter recovered his senses and said, "Now I know for certain that the Lord sent his angel and rescued me from the hand of Herod and from all that the Jewish people had been expecting." Isn't that amazing? This is what happens. This is what happens when you ask God to help you to break out of your prison, whatever they may be. And I think fear is a big one right now. Are you being held captive by fear? If so, today is the day to ask the Lord what you're supposed to do. I mean, that could be any number of things. Maybe you're afraid to go out of the house right now. So maybe today is the day to take a safe, small step of some kind. You know, I really can't tell you in your particular case what you should be doing, but the important thing for us is to turn to Jesus and realize that he is the chain breaker. He can break those chains in your life. What is holding you back today? If you're afraid, focus on Jesus. Focus on his words. "Let not your heart be troubled. Peace be with you. My peace I give you. Come to me if you're weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take up your cross and follow me. He who is first will be last. He who is last will be first." You know, Jesus said a lot of things. Do not worry about tomorrow. He said a lot of things. We listen often to the wrong voices. Amen? We do. We got to be careful about that. If you are following the coronavirus statistics, and that's all you're doing all day, of course you're going to be nervous. If all you're doing is looking at the division and the unrest that's taking place in the world, yeah, you're going to be nervous. But we got to balance that with spending time with Jesus through the scriptures. If you can get to Mass, go receive him in daily Mass if it's at all possible. Go to confession. Pray. Spend time in adoration if your church is open. There are things we can do. More Jesus time and less world and problem time is going to create more peace in your life. If you focus solely on your problems, you're going to be miserable. That's what I've learned. And it's a difficult struggle sometimes because we're so used to immersing ourselves in the things of the world and listening to the experts. The experts don't know for sure. And I'm not saying bury your head in the sand. I'm just saying be real and focus on Jesus and what he can do in your life. And that's how you're going to have peace. Let's read this. So that's an excerpt from the life of St. Peter. Pretty cool stuff, right? Now let's look at something Paul wrote from his second letter to Timothy, chapter 4, beginning in verse 6. "I, Paul," this is toward the end of his life, "I, Paul, am already being poured out like a libation, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have competed well. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. From now on, the crown of righteousness awaits me, which the Lord, the just judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but to all who have longed for his appearance." That's what we're all doing for. We're all looking to reach that finish line and to make it to heaven. But, you see, here's the thing. Of course, the Lord created us to live forever with him in heaven, but the life he wants us to lead, this new life that Jesus died and rose from the dead for, that begins today, the minute you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior and let his Holy Spirit work through you. You can have that peace today. You don't have to wait until you die and you're in heaven. Paul continues, "The Lord stood by me." See that? He's going to stand by you. "And gave me strength," just like he gave Peter strength in prison by sending him the angel. "So that through me," Paul said, "the proclamation might be completed and that all the Gentiles might hear it." Paul was the apostle to the Gentile people. "And I was rescued from the lion's mouth." Peter was rescued from prison. Paul says he's rescued from the lion's mouth by the provision of God. "The Lord will rescue me from every evil threat and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. Now, that doesn't mean Paul didn't die a martyr. He did. But Paul ultimately was rescued from the threats and the temptations that could possibly jeopardize his salvation. I mean, ultimately, that's the key. We want to make sure we make it to heaven. There is no greater threat, even though we feel that all these other threats are real and very scary, and they are real. But the ultimate risk is that we don't do God's will. We don't want to let him down there. And that's what Paul is able to say. And he ends with, "To him be glory forever and ever. Amen." You know what? As we conclude this show, we got about a minute and a half left, I'm going to tell you, the Lord Jesus is with you today. And you can break out of that prison, whatever that prison is, that prison of misery, depression, anxiety, fear, loneliness, whatever. Jesus is the answer. But you got to get moving. How do you get moving? You turn to him. That's the very first step. And then you say, all right, Lord, what do we do now? In the case of Peter in jail, the angel directed Peter, get on, let's get dressed, let's go. See if the Lord gives you directions. But the very first thing you have to do is turn to Jesus. Admit you're a sinner. Admit you need a Savior, right? And accept him as your personal Lord and Savior. That's it. And surrender your life to him and then say, all right, Lord, you're the boss. You're the Lord of my life. Let's go. Lord, send me an outpouring of your Holy Spirit to work in me, to inspire my thoughts, my words, my emotions. Let your Spirit, I give you permission to work in my life. And you will be amazed at what will happen if you do that. I ask you to give that a try. Turn to Jesus, pray, come Holy Spirit often, and then follow what he tells you to do. All right, that was fun. I enjoyed, I always enjoy hanging out with you, God willing. I'll be back tomorrow and following the truth. Do me a favor if you could. I need your help to keep this program on the air and keep my full-time ministry up and running, especially now when speaking engagements are canceled. Followingthetruth.com, if you would click on donate and make a donation to keep me going, I would really appreciate that. I would be so grateful. Followingthetruth.com, you can donate securely through the website by clicking on donate. You go to PayPal and you will do it completely securely and you will help me. God bless you. Thank you for listening. I'll be praying for you. And God willing, I'll see you tomorrow. See you next time.